Rear window, that trombone shot, though.
It's Flicks and That with Steve Newell, thanks to the Hollywood Avondale.
That's right, brand new sponsor. Hollywood Avondale.
Same old Steve, brand new sponsor.
Good
times. Hey guys.
Hello. Hell. Oh.
Hell.
What's going on?
Hell. I've been to movie hell and come back.
Where have you been?
You're like the travelling Fraggle of movie hell. You come back with stories to tell.
Have you been to a musical? Is that why?
Yeah, well, it's probably not as bad as it sounds. I was just trying to work with you guys, really. But that's cool. I might just put that metaphor down and just say I've seen some films. Let's talk about them.
I enjoyed it.
The first one isn't too great, I've got to say, and that is a disappointing turn of events. The film in question is New Zealand musical Daffodils, which uses a plethora of Aotearoa music classics to tell the tale of a bittersweet romance.
How could we ever expect that to be good?
Is Stan Walker in it?
Well, the Minchicks in it, and
Ben
Darcy Clay's in it, and Blam Blam Blam's in it. So okay.
Is Ben Lummis in it or not? Just answer me. Okay.
No. The central conceit of the film did not work for me, which is that there's Kimber is performing a covers gig singing these songs. She's thinking about her parents' relationship, and they're kind of like this sort of...
Wait, is she playing herself?
No, she's playing an indie covers artist.
Okay.
And so she's playing like songs by like Chris Knox and that.
Yes.
And she's using those, she's imagining her parents' relationship. The lyrics of those songs are kind of infusing into their inner monologues,
okay,
etc. Like
quite a lot of
basically, basically
all right, I'm so confused.
Basically, it's a musical,
yes,
that uses existing songs to do what songs and musicals do, which is move the narrative ahead,
okay,
or tell you more about what the character's thinking.
Okay, so does it skip to the chorus to get to the point?
Sometimes,
from
yes. Sometimes they're reworked, but basically that whole sort of central idea didn't work for me at all, and therefore
is there a subgenre
like
of things that it's called? What's it called? Like a something something musical?
Yeah,
or is
I
it?
Don't know about if there was a subgenre of awkwardly shoehorned existing music
New
musicals.
Zealand musicals.
Look, there's some, you know, a lot, like, it's a tough one. A lot of people worked really hard on it, so there's some decent performances.
Some good
but really
covers.
That kind of scent. I got to say.
Okay.
And I think there's, I mean, like, a couple of erroneous things to point out. There's some stuff that's just really on the nose, like... a pivotal scene uses Dave Dobbin's language when someone is literally speechless. There is a dude who's acting very depressed while Blam Blam Blam's There Is No Depression in New Zealand plays.
Okie dokie.
Which is also a medley with Darcy Clay's Jesus I Was Evil. It's just a bit rough.
Who's playing that one?
Rose McIver sings the lead on Clay. Her co-star George Mason does There Is No Depression in New Zealand. It's all kind of anchored by that Kimbra thing that mm-hmm. is the skeleton of this mm. film.
Does she want to be an actress? Is that what's going on here? Is she branching out into a new zone? She's a beast, it doesn't surprise me.
She has to do two things. She has to be convincingly upset at her father's deathbed, which
right.
she does, and she has to play a musician. So she's not really, you know, like what she does outside of normal range works well. But really, it's just like the central thing didn't work for me. And I think if the idea of it rubs you up the wrong way, it's probably not much point going to see Daffodils.
Okay. Now, more music films. Motley Crue.
Yeah, moving right on to the next one. The Dirt was an autobiography published by Motley Crue and their co-writer Neil Strauss back in 2001. It's kind of like the... Like, let's try and top every other hell-raising, you know, every other sort of memoir that's full of hell-raising stories of hooning groupies and doing lots of coke and being massive pieces of shit. And it kind of succeeded in that. You know, it's a really rollicking read. But it's obviously, on the one hand, you want to make this thing into a movie, but on the other hand, it's yet another music biopic celebrating guys being massive fuckwits. And you know what? It's kind of entertaining. Part of the reason it's so entertaining is it's not that great. So to me, it's found a home on Netflix. I think it's a really good place to watch it because in your living room where you can watch it with other people and have a laugh at it, partly laughing at like some of the performances aren't amazing, some of the dialogue's really clunky, but it still has that thing of having some pretty outrageous anecdotes from Motley Crue in it. So I reckon it's a good one to watch with a bit of a gang.
So it's not, hang on, it's not a documentary.
No. So they've done that thing that happens in all music biopics where they sort of cast people who can.
It's like O.J. Simpson story.
Yeah, if he had a guitar.
Cool. Yeah.
I don't think he had a guitar.
You never know, really, do you?
Gloves. But yeah, the casting sort of works, captures kind of the... sort of captures the chemistry between the band, but like I said, it's a bit clunky, and it reminds me kind of more of Hysteria, the Def Leppard story, which is a glorious kind of trash watch, than it does a more kind of serious music.
Someone
biopic,
loses an arm, though.
Like a Walk the Line or something like that, you know? And I think for a Motley Crue movie, you don't want it to be serious, you kind of want it to be a bit stupid. Mm-hmm. For instance, the guy who plays Ozzy Osbourne, who... has a memorable appearance in the book as well. It doesn't really look like him. Sounds quite a lot like him. Sort of like, you're kind of like laughing at it and enjoying it at the same time. And
that scene?
Yeah, that scene. Yeah, where he really needs a bump, but no one's got any blow left. Yeah.
Classic.
So anyway, if you can basically, if you want to watch like a bunch of dickheads be dickheads for an hour and a half, then it's quite entertaining.
Jesus, Steve, dig upwards, mate. What else have you got?
Well, look, that's positive. I'm being positive there. I'm being positive.
I don't know much about Motley Crue. Would I enjoy it?
I reckon, yeah. I reckon.
That's probably the best way to go like about it, actually. You probably dodged a bullet there.
Yeah, there's some stuff missing. You know, I can fill you on some of the things that were in the book that weren't in the film, like that these guys, when they were sort of started attaining a small amount of fame, thought that after they'd had sex with groupies, the best thing to do would be if they bought a burrito and took turns sticking it on themselves so that their girlfriends wouldn't realize anything had happened when they got home. That's the caliber of intelligence that we're dealing with in this film, for better or worse. Slightly more intelligent are the folks at Hollywood Avondale, our new sponsors.
Ooh, nice segue.
Who have commenced a pretty booty run of 35mm film screenings.
How do you get a 35mm film? Would it just be lying around New Zealand? They found it somewhere?
Yeah,
would you buy it on the internet?
I feel like it's more technical than that.
From what I gather, we go into their basement and take one and leave. It's probably the best way for us to get our hands on one. But I think they've probably been meticulously collected through secret smoky backroom deals and maybe the internet.
Mm-hmm. Is it like a Discogs except for 35mm film?
Yeah, I think it exists in maybe an Ant Timpson's brain is probably where that lives. So I think fitting in with what we've been talking about in terms of films today, they're pretty happy tomorrow night to be screening Walter Hill's Streets of Fire. I caught that at the Hollywood. I'm sure I've seen that at the Hollywood, maybe at a 24-hour movie marathon. Sometimes those events bleed together a little bit. But this is a film that upon release was a box office dud. It was landed with a critical thud, yet it is quite bonkers and well worth a watch if you're into seeing something slightly unusual. It's another really heavily music-infused film, but it kind of builds this like sort of biker throwback urban decay environment where there's all this music being performed. It's kind of a western. It's all these like weird jumble of things together.
A rock and roll singer is taken captive by a motorcycle gang in a strange world that seems to be a cross between the 50s and the present or future. What? Her ex-boyfriend returns to town and to find her missing and goes to her rescue. It's classic.
That was Willem Dafoe, the goodie or the baddie in this?
It's his first kind of significant role, and he is a badass MF like he should be. Has a great performance from him. Also notably Diane Lane's first feature role.
Did you write this? Her ex-boyfriend returns to town and to find her missing. God damn it, John, you're just stitching me right up here. Classic John at Jones. Well, we ought to laugh, it was worth it. I mean,
oh, yeah.
We're here now.
Cool. But anyway,
should we mention that we have a double dollars pass to that?
Yeah, go on.
We do have a double dollars pass. If you want to text this in, through to 5395. Streets of Fire is shown tomorrow night at 7:30 p.m. at the Hollywood Avondale. Just text this in, 5395, name and your B card. So, we'll chuck you on the door.
So while this one's not strictly a musical, it's, you know, music plays a very significant part in it. Ry Cooder does a bunch of songs.
Oh, cool. I love him.
There's a very Jim Steinman song in it. And it's just a fucking weird hodgepodge. It's very worth checking out, and I think Hollywood's a good room to see it in.
Is there even some Stevie Nicks on the soundtrack? Did I read that correctly?
I don't know about Ms. Nicks.
Okay.
I've got to say.
All right, Steve.
Let's have a blat on a little bit, and then get a taste of what's going on at the Hollywood tomorrow night.
So Nowhere Fast. This is from Streets of Fire. Oh.
80s Maximus. We'll be right back.
Real auteurs use star wipes.
That was Flicks and That on 95BFM, thanks to the Hollywood Avondale.